This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, June 9th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Ephrem, Deacon and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to remind you that June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And during this month, we also venerate the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On Thursdays, we always take a moment to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Visit the Blessed Sacrament today if you can, or if you can't, for whatever reason, make a spiritual communion to our Lord sometime during the day. This is a really good practice, especially on Thursdays. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines on this Thursday morning?
Well, John, in a week when there's so much talk about what to do about gun violence, and we'll get to the vote in the House about that in just a moment, but we have a guy arrested with a gun and more outside the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh aiming to kill the justice in an assassination attempt that was thwarted before any triggers were pulled. But my goodness, that's quite amazing to see that going on in this day and age in America. This California man said he was upset over the leak, not just the leak, but the content of what the court may do in terms of Roe v. Wade, looking, John, to take out one of those who appeared to vote to end Roe v. Wade.
Extremely potentially dangerous situation. What else do we know about this guy? I understand he has some mental issues.
Well, he actually called 911 and they arrested him while he was on the phone. He said that he was on medication, but that he was having thoughts of not only suicide, but taking out the justice as well. But they found him not far from the justice's home. The justice is supposed to be under 24/7 surveillance right now for their own safety.
And thanks to the U.S. Marshals who are protecting Justice Kavanaugh's home. What's kind of alarming is that even after this fellow was arrested last night, there were yet even more protesters outside of Kavanaugh's home. They just continue protesting, clearly breaking the law.
Interesting commentary, too, I heard yesterday, John. One commentator saying that, well, if one of the majority justices were taken out that appeared to be voting against Roe v. Wade, and there wouldn't be enough votes to overturn Roe v. Wade, or that President Biden, with a Democratic majority with a tie-breaking vote going to the vice president in the Senate, they could appoint a liberal justice who would not overturn Roe v. Wade if something were to happen before. And again, the law would change instantly once the Supreme Court announcement is made. So they were urging that the courts get that decision out sooner rather than later.
And Glenn, meanwhile, there were very emotional testimonies in Congress yesterday from Uvalde parents and also a fourth grader that survived.
As her voice, we demand action. We understand that for some reason, to some people, to people with money, to people who fund political campaigns, that guns are more important than children.
Shot my teacher and told my teacher goodnight and shot her in the head. He shot my friend that was next to me. And I thought he was gonna come back to the room. So I grabbed the blood and I put it all over me.
Just heartbreaking testimonies by the parents and that little girl. What is going on? I understand that the House is moving forward with some gun legislation, but there's little chance of it passing in the Senate.
No, they're calling it the Protecting Our Kids Act. It passed on a 223-204 vote in the House. What that would have done is raise the age to buy semi-automatic weapons up to 21 from 18. banned large capacity magazines, over 15 rounds, and some tougher penalties for trafficking firearms as well. The Senate not expected to even take up the legislation. Negotiators looking to make a narrower measure, possibly designed to win enough support to survive a GOP filibuster in the Senate.
And in the NBA Finals, Game 3 last night, the Boston Celtics held off the Golden State Warriors 116-100 to take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals, as heard on ABC Sports.
Brown wide open for three. Green all over. Brown drives inside. Beautiful. Horford running up the floor. Now throws it back to Tatum. Tatum to Brown. Brown the flush. Tatum drives inside. Lays it in. Tatum double-team finds Horford. Horford to drive, throws it up, and Williams throws it down. Brown double-team. 5 on the 24. Smart, the drive, gets pumped, layup, bank shot, it's good.
And Jaylen Brown led the way for the Celtics, 27 points, 9 boards. Big night for the trio from Boston with Game 4 tomorrow night in Boston, Glenn.
Great team effort there with Brown, as well as Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart. First time since 1984 in the finals, the team had three players with 20 points, five rebounds, and five assists. So great team effort. Boston off to a fast start there, and the Warriors charged back to make it close in the third, but not quite enough to hang on. So a 2-1 advantage for the Celtics right now.
It should be an exciting game four. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour, every show in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life this morning is from Luke 6:36. Jesus the Lord says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." As Pope St. John Paul II wrote in his encyclical, Rich in Mercy, Jesus Christ taught that man not only receives and experiences the mercies of God, but that he's also called to practice mercy towards others. God's greatest attribute is his infinite ocean of divine mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to take a look at a few stories that are making headlines. An armed California man was arrested on Wednesday by Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh's Maryland home. Abortion activists plan to blockade the Supreme Court to stop justices from overturning Roe. And when the Vatican announced Pope Francis would travel to L'Aquila in central Italy, people on social media began speculating that the Pope would resign. Now joining us with a Catholic perspective on these news stories that affect our church and our nation is Pablo Kay, the editor-in-chief of Angelus News. AngelusNews.com is your source for Catholic news, analysis, and commentary from Los Angeles, our nation's largest archdiocese. Good morning, Pablo. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always great to be with you.
Hey, good morning, John. Great to be with you too again.
First of all, what is your reaction to the armed California man that was arrested by Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home? And to put it in context, this happened 24 hours after a pregnancy center was firebombed in Buffalo, New York, which is actually the third pro-life organization in just the last 3 weeks to be attacked. What is going on?
Well, first of all, John, I don't have anything to say about him being from California. I know that, as far as we know, he was found in the early morning hours, kind of stumbling around in Justice Kavanaugh's suburban Maryland neighborhood. apparently with saying that he had the intent to take Kavanaugh's life. He was apparently very upset about the impending decision on Dobbs, and especially since the leaked draft opinion last month. But he was also apparently upset about the spate of recent shootings. But they said he had at least one weapon and burglary tools. So anyways, I think this is, we're kind of seeing this pattern ever since the leak of that draft. There've been a constant protest around the houses of some of the justices, particularly those who are expected perhaps to side with Justice Alito in this opinion. Not to speak of the manifestations, the protests in a lot of major cities, and then terrible acts of vandalism, including on pregnancy support centers and so on. And so I think it's a sign that the tension is kind of building. We know that the decision is getting closer and closer, even though we don't know exactly when. Some are saying it could be any day now, or closer to the end of June, or even the beginning of July, which is when historically a lot of the big major decisions from the Supreme Court have been published. So I think it's another sign that really the tension is building, and there's a lot of precariousness as to what will happen after this decision is released, socially, culturally.
No question, there's a lot of tension. In fact, there's reports that extreme abortion activists are planning to blockade the Supreme Court to stop justices from overturning Roe. And apparently the plans are pointing to this coming Monday as the day in which they plan on doing this. It just seems so over the top that this is actually going on.
Oh, certainly. I think the good news... or at least a sign of hope, at least for those who have been praying for years and hoping for the eventual overturning of Roe v. Wade, is that I think Justice Roberts and other members of the court have been very clear in their statements in recent weeks that they are not going to be intimidated by kind of their reactions to the leak of this draft, that they have a job to do. And I think, you know, at this point, we can assume that, you know, the justices have made their decision. I think now it's just a matter of preparing the majority opinion, the dissent, and all that.
I mean, protesting, Pablo, is kind of the American way. It's part of what we do. But to protest outside of the homes of Supreme Court justices is a whole nother thing. Why is this not being condemned by our political leaders, and especially, you know, the threats, specific threats against Justice Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, it's an interesting... kind of a conundrum, if you will. I mean, the condemnations or lack of condemnations have kind of been somewhat along partisan lines, right? I think this is the case of Justice Kavanaugh's home the other morning is perhaps the most extreme, scariest example we've seen of, you know, there was really somebody, you know, prepared to attempt an invasion, a dangerous invasion of a Supreme Court justice's home. Now, that's not to say it's been reported that there's heavy security around the Supreme Court itself, around the homes of the justices, but it is a bit of an eerie reminder of how charged this whole thing is right now.
What's your gut feeling, Pablo? What do you think we can expect when the Supreme Court actually comes out with the ruling and Roe v. Wade is overturned? What do you think is going to happen in our country? Will it be something, anything similar to what we saw a couple of years ago with George Floyd, with these so-called peaceful protests?
I think it'll be comparable. I'm a Catholic diocesan news editor. I'm not as tuned in as others, and I'm far from an expert on kind of these legal things. But I would say that living in a city like Los Angeles, seeing what happened 2 years ago with that summer and all the protests, I do think we can expect something somewhat similar. I would say. What I don't know is the fact that really this is, ironically, what the overturning of Roe would mean in a state like California, assuming that the Supreme Court overturns it, which is what many experts expect, would actually in California would translate to more abortions some of our lawmakers get their way, right, in the plans to really turn this state into a so-called abortion haven, in which, you know, state taxpayer money would be used to actually facilitate the abortion of unborn children from other states, right, to make, there's basically a movement underway to say, well, if Roe v. Wade is reversed and several of these other states prohibit abortion, you know, we'll make it easier, and we'll even invite pregnant women here to California to get their abortion. So, you know, it would really be terrible to see that. But on top of that, to see I don't know how to describe it. It kind of the anger that we saw kind of spilling out onto the streets 2 years ago, at least here in Los Angeles, and I know in many other cities. So I think as Catholics, it's also a reminder and a call that that we have to kind of face whatever's coming with faith, with prayer, and also with compassion and not condemnation or kind of going into battle mode.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears and talk about the Holy Father's trip to L'Aquila, Italy in August. Can you tell us a little bit about this trip?
Well, it's the trip that everyone's talking about, John. There was already kind of a major news item that emerged from Rome more than a week ago, almost 2 weeks ago, in which the Holy Father announced a list of new cardinals, bishops that he's going to elevate to the rank of cardinal at the end of the summer. Among them was an American, Bishop McElroy, here from San Diego in California, which was a big news headline. But a few days later, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis is going to travel to this small town in the middle of the mountains, central Italy, called L'Aquila. And he's going to do it just one day after creating all these new cardinals and right before a two-day meeting with cardinals from all over the world to discuss the reform of the Curia. So why is this trip raising so many eyebrows? Well, part of that trip is going to be the visit to the tomb of a pope from the 13th century named Celestine V. Celestine is famous because he was the last pope to resign the papacy until Pope Benedict the 16th in 2013. And interestingly, in 2009, Pope Benedict paid a special visit to this pope's tomb. And when he resigned 4 years later, Vatican watchers tried to start connecting the dots and said, well, you know, this was a profound kind of foreshadowing of what Pope Benedict was going to do. He was very gracious in his remarks about this pope's legacy during the visit. And so now, fast forward 9 years later, Pope Francis is going to visit the tomb of this same pope as part of his visit to this small town in central Italy. Now, that's the version, that's the headline that everyone's talking about, and it's sparking a lot of speculation on, is Pope Francis going to do is history going to be repeated? Is he also preparing to resign? Is this kind of a step that he's taking spiritually to prepare for this likelihood? Is it going to happen around then, or could it happen soon, or who knows? You know, so that everyone in Rome, it seems like it's the talk of the town right now.
It leads to a lot of speculation. We're joined this morning by Pablo Kay, editor-in-chief of Angelus News. And Pablo, one other story that I find kind of interesting about Happy, an Asian elephant in the Bronx Zoo. Why is this story causing a lot of really interesting arguments on both sides?
Yeah, John, and actually I wanted to say something about L'Aquila, because there's a very important point. Others are saying that this is not such a big deal. He's going there. There's an extraordinary year, kind of a jubilee type year, and it's very important that the Pope be there, and that also it's a place that's dear and close to his heart. There was a spate of terrible earthquakes there in recent years, and so others are saying that it's normal that he would go and show solidarity and participate in this event. Now, moving to Happy the Elephant, very different subject, which I know is very dear to your heart, John. So the other day, actually, on AngelusNews.com, we ran a kind of an opinion piece from one of our contributors, Charlie Camosi, about the case of Happy the Elephant, an elephant in a zoo in New York City who is beloved by elephant lovers, I guess. There's a movement underway, I believe it's some form of a lawsuit, to get Happy the Elephant, who's a female, recognized as basically a non-human being with rights and certain dignity that would allow him to be freed from the captivity of this zoo and be placed in a more natural habitat. Our contributor Charlie Camosi introduced kind of an interesting argument in saying, you know, actually we should take this seriously, even if we don't have the same motives or reasons as some of these animal rights folks. But we really should be thinking deeply about what it means to have the dignity and treating beings that can think for themselves, that have a certain degree of volition, of the mark of the creator. We should be thinking about that in along the same lines as preborn children. Now, not at all to suggest that animals are in any way equal, even close to equal, in their rights and dignity to human beings, but that there's certain ecological concerns that faithful Catholics should take seriously.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned to see what happens with Happy the Elephant. We'll have to leave it right there. Pablo, as always, thanks so much for your perspective on what's going on in the news in our nation and in our church.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure, as always.
Pablo Kay, the editor-in-chief of Angelus News, angelusnews.com, of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch will join us to share ways to make significant changes in body, mind, and soul with God's help this summer. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance, our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Well, here we are in the month of June, and summer may make some people feel a little bit lax, but if we bring God into it, we can make it meaningful and purposeful. Just because we are in summer is not a time to take a vacation from the Lord. After all, as St. Thomas Aquinas once said, the essence of the spiritual life is friendship with God. So the question is, how's our friendship with the Lord as we begin summer? Joining us now live is Kendra Vonash, a regular contributor to Morning Air, to talk about ways to make significant changes with God's help this summer. Kendra is a speaker, a faith coach, author, podcaster who's passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. She's also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again here in the month of June.
Yeah, happy June to you and Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, John.
Well, Kendra, I found this a very interesting topic because if you think about it, you know, even parishes in many places have summer hours and there's less things going on. Have you noticed things getting a little bit more laid back in the summertime?
Yes. It seems like there's vacations. Even if you're working a regular job, it still has a different tone, especially when you go, like you had mentioned, parishes don't have as many events. Hey, thank God that Relevant Radio has summer session. I just got an email from Father Rocky, so that's helping people stay on the track. But sometimes in the summer, people want to make some changes, or maybe they are really laxed in the way that they pray. Me, for one of my things, I always look at my full self, my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. And for me, I'm kind of working on my body. I am not a big workout person, but I know how much better I feel when I'm stronger and when I have more cardiovascular energy, and I am a better evangelist. I live better when I take better care of my body. And in the summer, you've got your barbecues, you've got your graduations, maybe some weddings, big party atmosphere, maybe you're over drinking, overeating, and just being lazy. And so that's why I think if you do have that prayer life, and that's another thing that I think some people lax on during the summer, even though they have more time, God seems to take that back seat. So for me, when I don't want to work out, I offer it to God. I make it a beautiful offering that is something that I'm sacrificing because I would rather sit on the couch. I would rather kick back on the deck and hang out and do nothing. But when I make it meritorious, I bring God into it, and then I can pray for people who are lost or for people who don't have a relationship with God, or I'll just give it to Mary and Jesus and allow them to take that and pour grace into whomever they want. And it means something. It becomes purposeful, like you and I had talked about in Lent, you know, when you're just not eating whatever that is. It's just a diet if you don't put God in the center and make it meaningful.
Absolutely. And you know, you have shared your story many times in the past. Do you remember back when you were a little distant from the Lord? Did you ever feel like you had left your faith behind while you were on summer vacation back in those days?
Oh, yes, for sure. Especially in the beginning of my journey, because I didn't know how to pray. I would look at people in church and see them so reverently bow their head, and I know that they were deep in conversation with God, and I wanted that. So what I would say to everyone is we need to move our feet toward God. You know, I saw a meme the other day. It looked like a yellow post-it note, you know, those things that you stick on your, you know, refrigerator and on your books to remind you of something. And it said, how can we ask God to guide our way if we won't move our feet? And it just smacked me in the head. That's so the spiritual journey. So maybe in your life, that's what you need to work on, in that list of mind, body, soul, and spirit, maybe it's a spiritual newness or starting something new. I created a 40-day video prayer program. Maybe you look at Father Rocky's summer sessions and you take that step to learn how to pray, to learn God's voice in your life, because it does take time and it is frustrating. So I just want to tell everyone that being silent and trying to build that relationship with God takes time, but the more that we move our feet and walk toward God, I'm telling you, the more he will draw you near. So it's just, it takes two. That's all I'm saying. And once you do connect with God and those beautiful consolations come over you in prayer and you feel this calmness and this peace, you will want that. You will actually crave that time, that peaceful time in your day. And your days will be different because God will be the center of it.
Kendra, this whole idea of training our mind, body, and soul, it's a very Catholic notion. It goes way back to centuries. I believe St. Thomas Aquinas spoke about this, St. Dominic, some of the great saints, about incorporating the entire human being, you know, body, mind, and soul. So can you give us some perspective on how we can begin to train our mind, our body, and our soul here in these summer months?
Sure. And it really is about being a child. You know, I hate to make it seem like it's a student-teacher relationship, because then we feel like, well, if we don't do it perfect, we're not going to get a good grade. And that's not how God works. God is a loving Father. And Jesus is merciful, and that Holy Spirit is working in us all day, every day. So we need to approach it like a child. Like, we should be eager to learn how to pray. We should be excited about learning new things in the spiritual life. That was what the Holy Spirit ignited in me in the beginning. It was all about finding out what this Catholic faith was all about. Why do we believe what we believe? Because it's one thing just to see, okay, here are the Ten Commandments, okay, here are the sacraments. But when you take it from your head and you allow God to move it to your heart, that 18 inches or 16 inches, depending on the length of your neck, that is when your faith becomes part of you. And you start realizing, this is why these commandments are out here. And, oh, this is why I should pray, because then I learn God's voice. And if your mind hasn't read a spiritual book or is just kind of stagnant in the journey, ask someone or look up some books. Unfortunately, you can dive into some big ones. I remember I was going to read St. Teresa of Avila, The Interior Castle, and it was way too early in my journey. So I was like reading a foreign language. So you really need books that are where you are at in the journey. So start small, and it's hard to do that, but you can talk to some people in your life. And that's another part. You know, find some spiritual companions and friends who are eager to learn too, and allow God to lead you. Ask him to guide you when you're looking for books, or to find that spiritual companion, to have the, you know, courage to walk up to someone you've never met before and introduce yourself. That's what I did, because I didn't know anyone. So that's a couple of suggestions that I would have for people.
That's a great suggestion. In fact, that is one of the suggestions that some spiritual directors make, some of the different habits that we need to develop as Catholics to grow closer to our Lord. And the habit of spiritual reading, I think, is really important. And, you know, obviously begins with reading Scripture, reading the New Testament, if nothing else. And there's so many good books out there. And if you don't like to read, you can always listen to them these days. There's all many ways of downloading and listening to books audially. So that's a great suggestion, Kendra, that I think we can put into practice here in the summertime.
Yeah, I will tell you, I am one of those people who reads very slowly. And I just wrapped up my ninth, I've only been on the journey for 9 years, and it was my ninth consecration to Jesus through Mary. I don't know if you've ever done St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, but I just wrapped that up. And if I had to read that, I probably would never have finished it because it's heavy, it's deep. And I bought it on Audible so I could listen to it, and the narrator was just wonderful, to the point that I'm actually still re-listening and listening again because I'm finding new enlightenment and new things listening to it the second time. And I think that's what I would recommend to anyone. If you got something out of a book or out of a podcast or even on this radio station, maybe you want to go back to the podcast, go online or use your free app, you can listen to it over and over again and help yourself bring that knowledge from your head down to your heart and start living that instead of just listening to it, kind of remembering it, or really just 3 days later, you forget about it.
And as you pointed out, there's some great resources right here on Relevant Radio. After all, you know, we are a spiritual parish, but we don't close down during the summertime. So there's a lot of great stuff on the relevantradio.com website for our listeners. If you want to be part of the conversation on ways to make significant changes in body, mind, and soul, with God's help this summer, with Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch, we're taking your calls, 888-914-9149. Love to hear your suggestions. 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Kendra. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side. Yes, indeed, it is summertime. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we're talking about ways to make significant changes with God's help this summer, especially in our body, mind, and soul. We're joined this morning by longtime Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch. She's also a speaker, an author, and a faith coach. Kendra, let's talk a little bit about moving our feet, as you described earlier, mm-hmm. towards God. How can we exercise with God? How can we make it holy, not just making it about ourselves at the center here this summer?
It's just a matter of thinking. So while the break was happening, I'm looking out my window, and I see a woman jogging by. And I say, thank you, God, because it's reminding me I still have to do that today.
Move those feet.
Exactly, in more ways than one. And it's just that constant communication that grows as we grow in our relationship with God. So if you're struggling with a prayer life, let's start with that, because you've got to have that first. That's the first step, that you say, I'm going to learn how to do mental prayer. I'm going to learn how to focus on God. I'm going to learn to walk into adoration and not read a book or pray a rosary. I'm just going to sit and look at God and love God and fight the distractions as I go along. And that's really the first step. And keep walking every single day. I say this, I know you might be a morning person because you're getting up and doing the program every day, but there's not people.
By the grace of God, Kendra, believe me, by in my nature, I am not a morning person. I am a night owl, but the good Lord has changed my whole MO, and now I'm getting up at 3:45 every morning by the grace of God.
Oh, whoa, that is the grace of God. 3:45, that's amazing. Well, I don't get up that early. But I have to make myself, because I know that if I start my day in prayer, and when you mention reading scripture, God speaks to me every single day. I do a little 10-minute podcast every single day, and of course today was love one another and take your grievances and make amends with people before you go make your offering at Mass. And so I was talking about, hey, it's not easy to forgive people. It's not easy to love people where they're at, especially now. There's so much division out there. How do we do it? Well, we need God to change our heart. And the more we ask Jesus to come in and forgive for us, the more that our heart and our mind and our feelings about that person, believe it or not, are going to change. My very own brother and I had a very bad long 20-plus year bridge, just big gap between us. And I honestly didn't like him. And I heard, guess where I heard it? On Relevant Radio, that if I don't love others and forgive others, God isn't going to forgive me. And so I was freaking out because I know darn well I need confession and I need forgiveness. So I tried to do it on my own. And months went by, and I would say, I forgive my brother, but then I would think about him, and I would still have that pit in my stomach and that disdain about him. And so I was one day in adoration, and I said, God, Jesus, I cannot do this. How am I supposed to do this? And I spoke to my spiritual director, and he said, just allow Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus to forgive for you. And it probably took about 6 months, but when I saw my brother at Christmas time, the Spirit moved me. It was almost like I was possessed because I was not sure what was going on, and I'm sure I wasn't possessed, so to speak, but maybe I was. Maybe the Spirit just moved me so much that I walked right up to my brother, and I hugged him, and I said, Merry Christmas, I love you. Those words have never come out of my mouth over the last, 20-something years. My whole family saw it. Their mouths were dropped, like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Because he knew, they knew, I knew, I pretty much didn't like him. I hated him. Let's use that horrible word. But God changed everything that day. And then he started texting me and saying, I love you, and I'm so proud of you on this journey. He bought me a book, and then I invited him over to dinner. And our relationship is 180 from what it used to be. This is the power of God, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Jesus Spirit, no question. Life, right? I was just thinking that as you're saying it. You know, we're running out of time here. As it just always flies by when you and I get together. Quick thought on this summertime. How challenging is it to get to Mass, especially when you're on vacation and you're so busy with doing so many things, and you gotta somehow, some way, find a way to get to Mass?
Well, it happened to me. I was in Mexico for a couple of weeks with my husband, and I didn't even know where I was. It's another language, and I did my best to try and talk to people to find the closest parish, and it wasn't even a parish. It was a really unique experience. It was an outdoor, like, pavilion type of thing, and we didn't really know how to get there. We took all these dirt roads. But the commitment was there. So my husband went with me because he's like, I'm not having you drive there. I don't even know how to get there. So it's just a matter of going online. You can go to masstimes.org, type in the zip code that you're in, or talk to some local people and find the closest place, because there is something somewhere, even though you might have to take a little drive. And ask God to lead you.
Absolutely. Where there's a will, there's a way. Can you finally give us just a final thought on how we can really bring God into our life here during this summertime?
Yeah, we can invite him into everything. If your challenge is over drinking and you're at a party, you can tell the person that you're with, hey, I want to watch how much I'm drinking. And then you can bring God in. So while you're drinking, ask Jesus to drink with you. I know it sounds crazy, but it works because I had that challenge in my life. I would have one or two too many, and we always want to keep our control. Maybe it's food that you overeat, and you can tell the person with you, look, I'm going to try not to overeat. I don't want any dessert today. Make it an offering for people who don't know Jesus, or also make it an offering for yourself to have some self-control. That's the way you bring it in. Bring God in, talking to him and honestly giving it to him. And he will come through, and you will be amazed, and people who you've talked to will also be amazed. It's really a big deal if you can share with people what you are working on, because somehow the accountability is bigger than you just keeping it to yourself, because it's easier not to do it if it's just you that knows that that's what you're working on.
Well, Kendra, as always, it's a joy to be with you. Many blessings this summer as you continue to fight the good fight of faith. Thanks again for being with us.
You too, John. God bless.
Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, and Catholic author. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Amen Crackers by Pamela Perry Blaine. Have you ever heard of Amen Crackers? I hadn't either until my granddaughter Amanda came for a visit. Amanda is not quite two, but ever since her parents taught her to pray, she always prays for each individual thing on her plate. One evening at supper time, Amanda was in the high chair and I went over to the kitchen counter to fill her plate. Her mother had put three small crackers on her high chair tray to give her something to eat while I fixed her plate. I watched as she bowed her head and touched the first cracker with her index finger and said, Amen, cracker. She touched the next cracker and said, Amen, cracker. And then she went to the last cracker, touching it again, saying, Amen, cracker. She thought the tiny crackers were her supper, so she was saying her prayers. Amanda's figured out that prayers have an amen in them, but sometimes she gets the amen at the beginning instead of the end of the prayers. I got to thinking about the word amen and found that in Hebrew the word amen means to confirm, and it's spoken to state, so be it. When we end our prayers with amen, we're reaffirming our dedication to God. Sometimes church members or congregations say amen to show confirmation or agreement when something powerful is spoken. Amanda's prayer might seem very simple, but maybe she wasn't so far off in what she was doing, because she would have been confirming her decision and dedication to God first of all instead of at the end. At any rate, we can gain wisdom from the mouths of babes. I learned several things from Amanda and her amen crackers. I learned that prayer should be a priority. I learned that whatever is on my plate, I should be thankful for it. I learned I should keep it simple and be specific. I've learned to have faith and trust God even when all I have is three crackers. I learned it's best to tend to my own crackers that have been provided for me and allow God to fill my plates. I learned to be patient, even if I'm sitting in a high chair, can't see what's going on in God's kitchen from where I sit. I learned to thank God for the small things and not complain even if all I have is crackers. And I've learned it doesn't matter if you get the prayer backwards. God hears our hearts. If you thank God for the crackers in your life, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you.
And as always, thanks so much, Glenn. I appreciate it. Coming up next hour, Franciscan Father John Clote, the producer of the movie The Miracle Box, will tell us about some of the compelling stories in this film and the making of this powerful movie on the sacrament of confession. Plus, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will discuss the priesthood and his 39th anniversary of his ordination. So stay with us. There's much more to come next hour as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.